God, glory to God, glory to God. Jesus is worthy, isn't he? He is worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all the honor, all the glory. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ be high and lifted up here tonight. Amen. Everything said, everything done. Are you glad to be the redeemed of the Lord? Amen. Then everyone say this with me. Say, I am redeemed. I'm filled with the life of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. Say, I'm anointed. Because Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just go ahead. Just get confessing that the anointing, the presence, Jesus Christ is, you know, we know the word Christ isn't just Jesus' last name, right? It means the anointed. It means the anointed. How many of you know the hope of glory, Jesus Christ in us, right? According to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us, the hope of glory. Amen. The anointed one lives on the inside of you here tonight. Praise the Lord. So just go ahead, just like the Bible says over there in Psalm 107 in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say so. Glory to God. Praise God. We know over there in John chapter 8 and verse 36, Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are free tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, speaking of God, who has delivered us. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. You have been delivered out of darkness. You have been put into the light. Amen. You are fully 100% delivered tonight. It is a settled fact. The word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. So just go ahead. Just know that your answers are no more further away than your mouth and your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ready for the Word of God here tonight? If you have your Bibles, if you want to join me over there in Galatians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Over the last several weeks on Wednesday night, we've been just talking about developing the inward man, developing the spirit man, right? And this message might not sound like it's really connected to this series, but how many of you know when we show up on Wednesday nights or Sunday morning or whenever we're having a meeting, we know that our spirit man's being developed. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Go over there to Galatians chapter 5. Tonight, we're just going to provoke your faith a little bit. Amen. We're just going to stir your faith a little bit. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call this message tonight, it's called God Loves Me, Therefore My Faith Works. God loves me, therefore my faith works. And we talked about that. We talked about how in Ephesians chapter 3, it talked about that we're strengthened by all might of the Holy Spirit to our inward man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Yes. And we see this that Jesus Christ, he's called the Word of God, so we can say the Word of God dwells in our hearts by faith. Yes. We know that Jesus Christ, his name is the Anointed or the Anointing. The anointing dwells in our hearts by faith, activated, energized, grown, and supplied by the faith that comes out of our mouth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just going to provoke your faith a little bit here tonight. We're going to stir your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to give you all the reasons in the world why it's easy to believe God. Yeah, yeah. Good. Why it's easy to believe God. Amen. Have you come to a realization that God just loves you? I mean, he loves you as if you're the only one on this earth. He just cares for you. He wants good things in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants you to know how special you are to him. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to talk about faith. Hallelujah. Got to love faith, right? We got to love faith because faith is our part, right? Faith is our part. And that excites me. I always love putting responsibility on the saints. Yeah. But how many of you know that even our faith, God didn't leave us to develop our own faith in the sense that we didn't think up the idea of faith, right? We didn't even get our own faith ourselves, right? How many of you know when you got saved, it wasn't even your own faith that saved you. It was the faith that was imparted to you by the word that you heard, right? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word, right? You heard the word of God and you believed that word and imparted faith on the inside of you. You believe that Jesus is Lord. Yes. You believe that he died and rose again so that you could be saved. Hallelujah. And then you got saved. And the Bible says that there was dealt to every man a measure of faith, right? Yes. So you've been given faith. The Bible says that the faith that's on the inside of you is not even your own, but it's a gift from God, right? Over there in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God."
That's right. That's
right?
That's right.
Jesus said over there in John chapter 6, in the 44th verse, he said, "No man can come to the Father who has sent me unless he draws him," right? Yeah. God draws us. He draws people through faith, through the hearing of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we know this, that the faith that's on the inside of us, glory to God, it's a gift from God.
Yes. Amen.
And God designed it. God developed it.
Right.
You didn't think of it. You didn't invent it. Hallelujah. It's not a man word idea. Amen. It is something that was imparted to you by God. And everything that God makes works.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Everything that God makes works. It's just that simple. Let's go over here. And let's do a little reading here. We're going to start in verse 3. Praise the Lord. Are you hungry for the word?
Yes.
Praise God. Aren't you glad you have a measure of faith?
Yes.
If you've been given a measure of faith, then that means you've been given a measure of everything faith can bring.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yes.
You've been given obviously, if you've been given a measure of faith, then victory is always imminent for you.
That's right.
Yes. If you'll use the faith, right? If you'll use the faith that God gave you, there's always provision available to you. There's always healing available to you.
That's right.
There's always joy available to you. There's everything that faith can buy, because where money runs out, faith can purchase it, right?
Yes.
Faith can purchase the things that money cannot.
That's right.
Amen. And then in the realm where natural material things can go, I'll tell you what, money can't buy you joy.
No.
Money can't restore a marriage, you know. Money can't heal a child, can't heal your body. Money can't pay the bills even, so to speak.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's
meaning
right.
Money can't meet all your needs.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But faith can.
Yes, faith can.
Faith can. When God said, "Hey, I'm gonna develop a new creation, a race of man. They're gonna be reproductions of my son."
Yes.
He didn't say, "Well, I'm gonna deal to them a measure of gold." Or silver. He said, "I'm going to give them a measure of faith."
Yes.
He said, "I'll put faith on the inside of them. I'll cut them loose. I'll have them turn their faith loose."
Yes.
And by turning their faith loose, they're going to turn the whole world upside
down.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I tell you what, if you want to change, know this, it's always with you.
Yes. Yes.
Your change is forever present in you. Your change, your help, your financial help, your whatever it is you need is ever present with you.
Right.
Heaven is waiting to hear from you.
That's right.
So let's go over here. Now, tonight we're just going to start out, we're going to just provoke your faith, why your faith is going to work, right? Your faith is going to work, I already told you, because God gave it to you. You didn't invent it. Let's start in Galatians 5 and verse 3. Now, of course, we know that Paul here, he's talking to the Galatians, and the Galatians were tempted to slip back into Judaism, right? They were going to go back to circumcision. They were going to go back to the Old Testament sacrificial system. And they were starting to feel like, hey, this Christianity business just isn't working. Because, right, they became Christians. They started to get persecuted for their faith. And they got tempted to go back into the old-time religion, right? How many of you know, you don't ever, Jesus said, "He that puts his hand to the plowshare and then looks back is not worthy of me."
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We don't look back with God. We always look forward.
Yes.
Amen. There's nothing good to bring out of your past. Stop trying to resurrect your past, because there's nothing good there that is worth bringing into the present, right? But anyway, we go here and he says this. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law," or the Old Testament law. Now, of course, these Galatians, they were thinking that they would be justified before God if they would be circumcised like the Old Testament commanded them, right? And so look at verse 4. Paul says this. He says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you." Wow, you could read that verse this way. The anointing has become of no effect to you. The word has become, right? Jesus is the word. He is the anointed, right? The word has become of no effect unto you. Why? Because they started to lean on an arm of the flesh. You know, because they were depending on a natural outward sign to make them happy.
Right.
You know, to take care of their business and, you know, with God and to make them closer to God. And, you know, there's people that are still doing that today. They're just following a routine.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, they're showing up. You can show up to church and still not be in a love relationship with the Father.
Oh,
You know, I mean, it's good to be in church, but you need to make sure you're fellowshipping with him in your private time. But anyway, this is not what I'm getting stuck on here. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Well, see, it is possible to fall from grace, but though I'm not teaching about that. Verse 5, it says, For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, notice what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the grace of God, right? In verse 4, he said, you are fallen from grace. That word grace, it means loving kindness of God, the graciousness of God, the benevolence of God. Paul here in context is talking about the difference between the law and the love of God, right? One aspect is the law. Circumcision represents the law. Grace represents the love of God. And he is talking to these people like, listen, it is far better to be under love than to be under law. And now this is what I'm setting the stage here is verse 6. Verse 6 is a scripture that is taught all the time concerning faith and is taught all the time concerning love. And so often this verse is taught backwards. Let's read it. He says, for in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Okay? So there's no power in works. That's what circumcision was. People trying to acquire things from God, be blessed by God by works. That's what circumcision was. It was just a work of the law. Oh my goodness. How this verse has been taught backwards. Oh, even our own camps have taught this verse backwards. Typically, this is the way this verse is taught. It's taught, if you treat people with love, your faith will work. Isn't that how that verse is taught? Isn't that how we all learned that verse? If I treat people right, then my faith will work. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is not talking about how your faith will work through your love. God never inspired anything in the New Testament out of a rule.
Yeah. Come on.
The New Testament is the love revelation of God towards humanity. God never wanted to inspire and provoke your faith through what you did. He wanted to inspire and provoke your faith through what he did.
That's right.
What people are doing, they're taking Galatians 5:6, and they're saying, they're basically interpreting it like this, but your faith, which works by your love, your actions, your kindness, and your patience. Oh, no. If we start to interpret that verse that way, all of a sudden we're going to start walking out in law, just like circumcision was law. Because the next thing we do, we start thinking our faith works because we've treated everybody right. We start to think we're going to get what we need from God because we've been perfect, because we treated everyone right. Oh, come on. How many of you know God has no pleasure in somebody who believes they deserve it?
Oh, man, that's huge.
God has no pleasure in someone who says, I've treated everyone right. Therefore, my faith works. Therefore, I'm getting blessed because I. See, that's how we've gotten that verse backwards. That verse, people shouldn't have said, no, they shouldn't have said that my faith works because of my love. They should have said my faith works because of God's love.
Yeah.
You should read this verse this way. But faith that God has imparted into you will work and be energized and be effective because you believe God loves you.
That's it.
That's when faith works. Because you have come to a revelation that you are so highly loved by God. Oh, come on now. You know, so many times we just say, well, if you treat everybody right, your faith will work. Now, is it true that you have to treat people right? Yeah. But how many of you know you treat people right as an extension of your faith?
Yeah. That's right.
You didn't invent the idea of treating people right. You know why? Because even sinners can be moral and nice. They can. How many of you know people that aren't saved, but man, they're nice people? So just being nice and kind and patient is not necessarily the love of God. Though the love of God always is kind and patient. You understand? But what we're supposed to do with this verse is say, the faith that God gave me, it works because I've been so overwhelmed about God's generosity towards me. Hallelujah. And that your faith, you treat people right out of an extension because you believe that God loves you.
That's right.
When you believe God loves you, you treat people in patience and kindness because you would dare not receive such a huge level of forgiveness, a huge blessing, without having the intentions of bestowing that same goodness upon others, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be a contradiction of Christianity when people say, oh, I love Jesus and God forgave me, but then they treat everybody like trash?
Yeah.
You can't receive the abundance of grace from God and then therefore you yourself. Do you see what God was trying to do? In the New Testament is all about God getting a hold of our attention.
Yes.
With this huge gift of his son.
Yes.
That he had nothing better to give. He had nothing bigger to give. He had nothing more valuable to give. And when he gave that to the world, he thought that it would be big enough that the world would stop and say, oh my goodness, look at that outpouring of grace. Now that I've received that grace, I love people because I'm so highly loved. Glory to God. I release my faith and it works because God gave me the biggest, most valuable thing that he has. Hallelujah. See, we've taken that verse and we've taught the cheap end of it. We've taught the cheap end of it. The cheap end of it says treat people right and your faith will work. Well, there's some truth in that, but that's not the most significant truth of this verse. The most significant truth is that you're so highly loved. That God never provoked your faith by a rule. He provoked your faith by saying, here is the ultimate gift. And if I gave you that, what would I ever hold back from you?
That's it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, tonight your faith is going to get stirred. You're going to walk out of here believing and knowing that God is 100% only and always for you. That when you release your faith, it's going to work because you're highly loved. Your faith works because God first loved you. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're loved here tonight?
Yes, thank you, Lord. So great.
The faith that God gave us is going to work because we're loved.
That's it.
And I treat people right just because it's an extension of my faith. I love because I believed I am loved. Isn't that why you're patient with your spouse? Because God was first patient with you?
Yes.
Isn't that why you love your children? Because he loves his children?
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Isn't that why you're patient with your boss? Because he was patient with you?
That's right.
Yeah. Isn't that why you're kind to the people that get on your last nerve at your job? Right? Isn't that why you're kind to them?
Yes.
You know, you can't help but have, you know, you have emotions and sometimes people tread all over them, right? But yet you're still loving and kind to them. Why? Because God did that for you. Yeah, and it inspires you.
Yes.
Right? God started a fire, right?
Yes.
On the inside of us. He showed us how to do it, and he just calls us to mimic what he did.
That's right.
Glory to God. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that you're loved? Your faith is going to work. I tell you what, just right now, let's stop. Before we go and add anything onto this message, let's just stop and soak that in. How does this translate into your life? You say, my faith works because God gave it to me because I am so highly loved by him. I am loved. I am cherished. My faith works. My faith works because my faith is always fueled by God's love for me. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 32. It says this. It says, he that spared, it's talking about God and Jesus. He, God, that spared not his own son, Jesus Christ, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everyone say all things.
All things.
Oh my goodness. That gets the religious folks a little nervous. He wants to give you all things. Guess what? Let me just tell you right now, he's already given you all things. He's already given it to you. God's not going to do anything more. If you're in need here tonight, guess what? It's already been given.
That's right.
Heaven is, it has let it go. Amen.
Amen.
He's already, it's already here on this earth. Somebody has it somewhere.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Maybe there might be an act of faith on your part to get that thing released from a man, but God doesn't have it.
That's right.
He's already put it on this earth. It's already here. That new job you have, it's already here, or that you need, it's already here. That new car that you need, it's already here. Right? Every need that you have. Glory to God. He's already provided healing. He's already provided everything. He's provided your prosperity. He's provided those new buildings you need. He provided everything you need. Amen. Glory to God. He's provided houses. He's provided lands. He's provided the desires of your heart. Heaven is not holding on to anything. Some people think that God has a hold of their blessing with a clutched white knuckle hand. No, God isn't clutching onto your blessing. You don't have to go up there and pry God's hand off from your blessing and off from your needs and off from your desires. He's already let it go. Oh, why? Because he spared not his own son. How will he not also in him freely give us all things? Here's what we need to understand. The greatest extension of faith was when you and I, as sinners, reached out and took Christ by faith. That was the greatest extension of faith. We have been taught that that is like a small extension of faith. Even some in the Word of Faith camp kind of talk about, well, you know, we just reached out a little bit and we got Jesus and we got saved, but man, we really need to reach and use our faith for healing and for prosperity. No, know this, that if you made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ represents the greatest gift ever provided to a human being. The furthest extension of faith was demonstrated when you were lost and you reached with your faith all the way out there and took Jesus as your Lord and Savior. People talk as if it's some kind of small extension of faith. It's not, right? And now since you believed on God's Son, everything else, all needs, all desires are a smaller reach of faith than that. You get a hold of that?
Yes.
Jesus is because it represents God's highest level of giving towards us. It represents man's highest extension of faith to receive God's highest gift.
That's right.
Everything else is a smaller reach of faith.
Smaller reach, right. Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of things that we have to continue to release our faith for, but none of them compare to the gift that God gave in Jesus. None compare to the magnitude of gift. There's no healing for your body. There's not a million people that all get healed at once. There, not even the gift of the Holy Spirit was as great. It was second, but it wasn't first. Jesus is first. There's no amount of money that could compare to to Jesus. There's no property. There's no home. There's no job. There's no child. There's no health. There's no whatever. Anything that you want and desire is a smaller reach of faith. Oh, come on, that's going to click on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. That means that we as believers are qualified to believe for all things.
Yes.
We can believe for all things. Hallelujah. Why? Because we've already received at the highest level. We've already received at the highest level. There's nothing more that you can receive greater than that which you've already gotten.
That's right.
It's kind of like this, and I know this is probably a weird illustration, but I'm going to use it because it makes sense to me. But I remember being a child, and I would get the rubber band guns. Rubber band guns. And you'd have, you know, remember they were like handmade, those wooden ones? And they'd have that, and you'd take that, the rifle one, and you'd stretch that rubber band all the way out to the end of the muzzle, and then there'd be like a little handgun version that would, work the same way, except it had a smaller stretch on the rubber band. But I remember this, if you took those rubber bands, and you took them brand new out of the package, and you stretched them out to fit on that rifle, I mean, it would take all of the stretch of that rubber band to get it on that rifle, right? But if that rubber band stayed intact through the stretch, once you fired it, you could go get that thing, and since it had already been stretched to its maximum potential, it would go on that revolver or the little handgun a lot easier. Right? It's the same thing with your faith. You have already received at the highest level from God. You have already received. Therefore, everything else is a lesser stretch. Glory to God. If he gave you Christ, if he spared not Christ, he won't spare your healing. He won't spare your home. He won't spare your job. He won't spare you having kids. He won't spare.
That's right.
Glory to God. And see, we have received at the highest level because God demonstrated his love at the highest level.
Amen.
God cannot demonstrate his love higher than he's already demonstrated it for you.
That's right.
Glory to God. Let it soak in. He has already shown you his highest potential of love that he is capable of. There's nothing higher he can do to love you. So everything else will come in behind what he gave in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Giving you all good things is easy for God because he held nothing back for your salvation. Praise the Lord. You know you have received salvation because there's no more hesitation or questions in your conscience. You know your faith is working for salvation when you live your life without being bothered in your mind or in your conscience about whether or not you're saved. You probably, you know, I look around and I see so many faithful believers here. You probably didn't, you probably didn't wake up today and, you know, as you sat down for lunch or when you went through your day, you probably didn't say, oh, you know, not quite sure if I'm saved. I think I am. But I don't know. I don't feel saved right now. Okay, I am. I'm saved. Well, you know, what if I'm not? Probably very few of you, if any of you, probably did not have that experience today. Because you are so convinced of your salvation that your faith has surpassed knowledge to the point where your mind and your conscience are no longer bothered about it. You know you're a child of God. Because there's no question, and if one arised, you would snap it out of your brain in a second. Because it's become automatic. If you can reach that level of faith that surpasses all knowledge with the greatest gift, you can and should be able to reach that same exact peaceful state of mind, peaceful state of conscience for whatever it is you're believing for.
That's right.
Where there's no more bother in your mind, no more bother in your conscience, because you have become so convinced in your faith that it no longer is a troubling idea in your mind.
That's right. Good word.
There's so many people, they'll release their faith. They'll say, I am the healed of the Lord. 2 minutes later, a pain in their body or something will come up and say, I guess I haven't got my healing yet. Oh, see, they were bothered by it. They allowed a symptom to tell them what their body was doing. See, the Bible says we are healed. The Bible says he himself, over there, 1 Peter 2:24 said, he himself bare our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Right? Amen. We know over there, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We know Matthew 8:17, that it was fulfilled, that was written by the prophet Isaiah himself, took upon him our diseases and sicknesses. Right? Amen. We know Psalm 103, verse 1, or 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Right?
That's right.
Who what? Who heals all of our diseases, who forgives all of our iniquities. It's just as easy to receive healing as it is to receive salvation.
Yes.
It's actually what I would say, like I said earlier, it's a smaller reach. Remember when Jesus, remember when the man who was born by four was dropped through the ceiling and Jesus perceived in their thoughts? Remember Jesus said, you know, my son, you're forgiven of your sins. And they said, oh, he blasphemes because who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus turned and he read their thoughts. Yeah. And he said, which is easier to say?
Yes, that's right.
Which is easier to say?
Yes.
Be forgiven of your sins or rise up and take your bed and walk? He said, what's easier to say?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God, that's right.
Hallelujah. God has made it easy. If anything has become hard, it's because we made it that way.
Yes. Come on.
If anything became hard, it's because your mouth made it that way.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on now. Amen. If something became hard, if something became tough, if something became just a big struggle in life, it wasn't made so by God.
That's right.
He's not the one that's producing obstacles. He's the one producing overcomers. Right? 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Yes.
Even our faith.
That's right.
Overcomes the world. The obstacle was in the world. It wasn't in God.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
The victory was in God. The victory was in faith.
Yes.
Glory to God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I love that verse. Praise God. So how are all things now that they're everything's within your reach now? Because look at that verse. Includes every need and desire you could ever have. Every need or desire any human being could ever have is in that verse. One scripture. And it said, God spared not his own son, meaning the greatest that any man could receive is Jesus. And everything else would just be a closer reach, right? There it is, right there. So now what I do is I take this verse and I convert it into faith in my mouth. I am a believer. I have received Jesus. There's nothing that I can't have.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing that is beyond the reach. And when I say that, people instantly in their mind, they'll start thinking, oh my goodness, he loves money. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anything you need or appropriately desire.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yes.
Commit thy way, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass.
Yes.
He shall bring it to pass. Yes. You know, some of you have desires in your heart. You know, so often, talking about verses that are interpreted backwards, let's go there.
Yes. Good.
Go to Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just taking a little rabbit trail. A little rabbit trail in the Lord here tonight. You know what we mean by that?
Yeah.
A little tangent that no man really planned on taking, but just being inspired by the Spirit because someone's about to get their help right now.
Yes.
Right now.
Right now.
Because some of you are being beat up in your mind for desiring good things.
Come on. Come on.
And the devil is accusing you of being selfish and being, you know, covetous and all this stuff. He's accusing you. But here, let me show you something. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Well, there's the condition right there. Delight yourself. Actually, that word delight, it means to pour yourself into a mold. I like that. Pour yourself into a mold. Well, we got to do that with Christ, right? Conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what God has always wanted to do with our lives. To make us a splitting image of Christ himself.
Yes.
Reproductions of Jesus.
Yes.
All right? So he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Notice God wants to do that for you.
Yes.
Verse 5. Now, here's where verse 4 is so often misunderstood. We think that verse 4 is saying, if you live like God, he will give you everything you want. That's not what that verse is talking about. However, we're going to get to that. What verse 4 is talking about, that delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires that are in your heart. Meaning that the desires that are inspired on the inside of you are from God when you're living for God. So many times people, they think, you know, they're living for God, they're doing all that they know to do for Jesus, and they're serving God with all their heart, and they'll start getting desires for more. They'll start thinking, you know what, I see myself in a bigger house.
Yes.
You know what, I see myself giving more money.
Yes.
I see myself earning more money to give more money.
Yes.
Aren't there ministries all over this world that need to be funded for Jesus?
Oh, yes.
I mean, shouldn't the people of God have the provision in their hands to fund missionaries, build buildings all over the world? Those desires that are in you are from God. That's what that verse is talking about there. It's talking about that which is on the inside of you. Those desires and those longings are from heaven.
Yes.
All right? Now, verse 5 talks about how you get them. How you take those desires from the inside of your spirit man and see that they become manifested in your life.
Yeah.
Verse 5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust, have faith. Release your faith, speak to those things, make a decree, believe that they're coming to pass, and then the Lord will bring it to pass. Verse 5 is about how they come into this realm. But verse 4 is talking about where those desires come from. They were inspired. You know, so often we think, I'm going to serve God. He's going to give me everything I want. Well, we need to slow down. The first thing that he's going to do is that he's going to put desires on the inside, and he expects you to use your faith to take that which is on the inside and move it to the outside.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go back to Romans 8 and verse 32. That's just going to help somebody. Because God's going to... I'll tell you what, God is about increase. He is about multiplication.
Oh, yes.
He is about taking you further.
Right.
People say, well, I can't go any further because I don't have a college education. You know what? God doesn't need a college education to promote you.
That's right.
You know, people say, well, I'm a divorced single mother. You know, there's only so far I can go in this world. No, don't you dare put yourself in a box that this world has built around you. People say, well, I'm either too young or I'm too old.
Come on.
Go with me to the book of Genesis. Praise the Lord. Go to Genesis 18. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Go to Genesis 18. And let's go down to verse 9, and we'll start there. Let me just kind of prep the story for you. Remember how the Lord visited Abraham and Sarah in the plains of Mamre, right? Remember that? And it was the Lord and two angels. Those two angels will end up being the two angels that go into Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know that it was literally the Lord himself visiting Abraham. And remember what happened? They showed up and the Lord said, quick, Sarah, go into the tent. Make 3 measures or 3 bushels of the fine meal. Do you realize that? I did a little studying on that. And 3 bushels of that grain would have been enough bread to give 600 men a small cake. Abraham said, quick.
Yes.
As fast as you can, bake 3 bushels of fine meal. Yeah. Abraham knew when the Lord came into his presence, he was going to give his absolute best.
Oh, yes.
He said, go fetch the fatted calf, right? And it says he fetched it, right? He says, quick, dress it and prepare it with milk and butter, a whole calf. When's the last time you've seen 3 men that can eat a calf? A whole calf. He was making abundance for them, right? And then we come down, and it says in up there before verse 8, it says that Abraham stood back. He watched as the Lord and those two angels enjoyed that meal. He enjoyed his giving.
Yeah.
So many people, they just enjoy the getting. You better learn to enjoy the giving. See, we see the joy of Abraham's giving gets involved. He loved to sow the seed, right? In verse 9, and they said unto him, now here they've eaten. They've been so provided for. Remember what Abraham and Sarah were believing for? A child. Look at verse 9, how it starts. And they, the Lord and two angels, said unto Abraham, where's Sarah, your wife?
Yeah, come on, come on, come on.
I love that. Now that you've provided such an awesome gift and you sowed such an awesome seed towards the things of the Lord, the Lord's sitting there, you know, wiping up his mouth. Where's your wife?
Come on. Come on.
What's he doing? He's getting ready to bless her.
Yes.
Yeah, he's getting ready to return the gift. I'll tell you what, you can never outgive God.
That's right.
They gave bread and a cow, and they're about to get a child.
Yes.
You can never outgive God. He will always give you something better than you gave him. Always. 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 They said unto him, where's Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly, this is the Lord talking to Abraham, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. You know when the Bible calls you old. The Lord's sitting there. You're old. The Lord's like, I've been around for eternity, man, and you're old. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Yeah. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, meaning that she is too old to have kids, right? Now look at verse 12. Now remember what the Lord said? Certainly.
That's right. Certainly.
Now who's listening behind the tent door? Sarah. She heard, certainly I will return unto thee. Certainly. And she heard that. But she comes down to verse 12 there. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, and she said, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, or my husband being old also? Well, I want to stay away from the hot details here. But notice what happened. She heard the certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the inside, she said, I'm too old. Everyone has a, sometimes they get a two problem.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too uneducated. Right? Oh, come on. What they start to do, they started making excuses why they can't receive when God had already said, certainly.
That's right. That's right.
Certainly.
That's right.
God can promote you beyond your education. He can promote you but beyond your circumstances, your marital status. Well, I'm a divorced single mother, and I have children, and no one's going to want to love me. Don't say you're out of the running for a godly man to come into your life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's never too far out of reach for God.
That's right.
See, Sarah, she almost lost Isaac because she had a two problem.
Right.
Two. Now the Lord's going to deal with her because he wants her blessed. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Well, there's only one way to make a child, right? All right. I thought that'd be funnier. But you feel the crash and burn? No one laughed. Come on, you're supposed to help me out with stuff like that. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? I'll tell you what, you think that God's not going to hold idle words? Say, wait a minute. He said, look at what she said.
Yeah.
Look at what she thought within herself. She's saying she's too old. I said, certainly it'll happen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Yes.
See, I tell you what, you need to take the word as certainly.
That's right.
It is certain. Your salvation is certain. Yes. Your healing is certain. Yes. Your prosperity is certain.
Right.
Hallelujah. And don't you allow yourself to have a two problem.
That's right.
There's no two issues. You know what I mean? The T-O-O problem.
Right.
You know, there's nothing in this world that's two anything for God.
That's right.
Well, you know, I can't go lay hands on somebody. They're two this. They don't, you know, they're two that, two, you know. I mean, you better just, I'll tell you what, my wife and I, we've seen awesome things. You know, so many times, you know, you think somebody is too religious or they come from a different denomination, they don't believe in healing or whatnot. I'll tell you what, those are the people that God is looking to demonstrate himself towards. You know somebody and they, they were raised in this denomination and they don't believe and I can't ask them to lay hands on them. Lay hands on them.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. My wife and I had an awesome opportunity with her grandfather to lay hands on him. Raised Catholic his whole life, didn't know much about, you know, the things of the word and definitely not about divine healing and so on. And we were having a conversation and we just jumped in. Hey, the Lord can heal you. The Lord can heal you. You know, we'd like to pray for you. We'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you. And there was a lot of family around that didn't know much about it. And, you know, they started scattering out, you know, ooh, the pastor's here and he's getting pastory on us, you know. Here we go. Let's go see what's on the football game or something, right? But he stood up, he said, yes, please do. And he just stood up, put his hands in the air without even asking him. We laid hands on him. And to this day, he's cancer-free. Glory to God. See, what if we had said, nah, he's too Catholic. No, there's no such thing. God wants to demonstrate his love to people. And you need to make up your mind right now that you are going to be a channel of that love. Hallelujah. Flowing from a loving God through you to a lost and hurting world.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Well, we got off on some things here. We see Sarah. Had herself a little I'm too old issue. You know, I went in my other Bible. I have a big margin in my other Bible, and I just wrote down, you know, people always saying, you know, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too short, I'm too ugly, I'm too this, I'm too poor, I'm too, you know, and I just went with all the things that the world says you're too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People saying, you know, people are always trying to parade their lack.
Yeah.
Why would you parade your lack? God never asked you to parade your lack. He asked you to parade his word, his ability, his certainty.
That's right.
Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll get ready to close here. Hebrews 13. Praise the Lord. You've already received at the highest level if you're saved. How much easier is it to receive? What is healing compared to Jesus?
Come on.
What's your bills being paid compared to him? What's your child being healed compared to him? I'll tell you what, you just take Romans 8:32. Lord Jesus, God, you did not spare your own son. If you gave me Jesus, I thank you, then it's easy for me to claim a child. We're believing for a child. Father, I say it's easy to believe for a job. We're believing for a job. Father, it's easy to believe for another church building because we need another church building.
Yes,
Father,
yes.
It's easy to believe for more money and my bills paid because you gave me Jesus.
That's right.
I'm so highly loved. I know.
Yes.
I know because God loved me.
That's it.
It's got to show up.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
It's got to show up, but you got to turn your needs and desires into faith. Hallelujah. Let me show you something else here. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let me show you this again in the Word to show you that your faith is not inspired by how you treat people. But your faith is inspired by how God treated you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I know I'm going to get whatever I believe for. Why? Because he gave me Jesus.
Right.
He maxed it out to start with.
Yes, he did. Yes.
He didn't hide anything from me.
Yeah.
He didn't say, well, you can have this, but not that. He didn't do any of that. He said, here, I'll just give it to you all at once.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad he gave it to you all at once?
Yeah.
Remember being a kid and Christmas morning? You just want it all at once, right? And you go over to, you know, different family members' houses, and some houses have different rules. At our house, it was like every kid open all the gifts all at once. And then you go to some places like, no, each kid unwrap a gift one at a time, and you're just like, no! God said, here, have it all right now.
Yes.
Go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation or your behavior be without covetousness. Well, there we go. Now, the rest of it, listen to this. And be content with such things as you have. Now, please do understand that that's not God saying you can't have more than you have. He said, just be content where you're at. See, I've said this before, and people need to understand this. Some people, they're thinking that things are going to make them happy. No, they got it backwards. Things come to those who are already happy.
That's right.
Money doesn't make you content. Things come to those who are already content.
Amen.
See, this is pertaining to our faith here. I'll tell you what, the moment you are out of contentment, you are out of faith. Instantly.
Good word.
If you are not content, saying, well, Pastor Tim, I'm believing for a new car. The one I'm in is, I mean, literally parts are falling off as I drive down the road. Listen, I've been there, you know. I remember in high school.
Yeah.
Come on, you're pulling out a story. I'm going to oblige. I was driving a 1980 Plymouth Turismo. Do you know what a Turismo is? Actually, it's called a Turismo. But this thing was painted bright turquoise with a weird gray racing stripe down the hood. So we call it a Turismo. The Turismo. And this car, do you know, it was like one of those weird little hatchbacks. Do you remember the old school Dodge Chargers, like the 1980s Dodge Chargers? They're not the cool Dodge Chargers that they make now. They're those little hatchback things. Well, this was like a cheap version of that. It wasn't even as good as a cheap Dodge Charger. And this thing, was 16, 17 years old. And I had a couple of friends I was giving a ride home with. And they'd get in there, and man, it had nice pleather seats. It had an AM-only radio. AM-only. One speaker in it. A 4-inch wide speaker that sat on the dash. One speaker, AM radio only, bright turquoise and blue pleather on the inside. So my friends would get in and they'd slide down in their seats. And I was coming out of the high school parking lot one day, and that car sat real low, and the exhaust was just dangling. And I went down over the the entrance, you know. And I'm coming out, and that thing catches. It kind of bottoms out right in the middle. Rip! The entire undercarriage of the entire car came off. Rip, I mean, it ripped the exhaust off from the engine manifold back. And if you've ever heard a car that has zero exhaust on it, and it was a little four-cylinder engine, I mean, the engine in that thing was like the size of a loaf of bread. But it had zero. Glory. Zero exhaust on it, and when that ripped off, I mean, it literally went, wah! And we looked around, and everyone on the sidewalk was like, ooh! They all plugged their ears. I seriously sit so low in the car. And I was running over the exhaust as I drove away. It's like, wah! Go. And I'm driving away, and I'm literally driving like this. People must have saw that car and be like, that car's driving itself. I finally got it home, and my parents heard me coming a mile away. My dad is literally waiting at the end of the driveway when I got home. He's like, what happened? I said, Dad, the whole thing came off. And he said, well, where is it? I said, it's on the street in front of the high school. And he said, get in, we're going back to get it. Not in that car, obviously. We jumped in his car. I'm like, Dad, I am not going out there jumping out of the car. I mean, the thing was like 12 feet long. I mean, it was exhaust, catalytic converter, muffler, tailpipe, all in one perfect piece. He's like, no, you are going back and you're picking it all up. You're putting it in this car. My dad stopped all the traffic in front of high school just after dismissal. He made me get out of the car. Get out of the car and open the hatch of his station wagon and feed that baby all the way to the front seat. All that to say, be content with things as you have. See, I'll tell you what, you are never going to get a better one until you're grateful for the one you have. I remember Creflo Dollar talking about needing a new bed, and he was sitting on early in his ministry, and he said he and his wife were sleeping on this bed that was literally bent in, crushed, I mean just destroyed, and he's sitting on that bed one day saying, my goodness, I'm tired of this old thing. And God spoke to him supernaturally and said, until you learn to praise me for the one you have, I'm not giving you a better one. See, all that to remember. So when you remember the turismo, just remember, you better be grateful for what's in your hand if you want it to multiply.
That's right, that's right.
Contentment always multiplies what you have. Gratitude will always multiply what is in your present. Every time you thank God, you've heard the stories of the cars I used to drive and even drive in here, you know, and just thank you, Lord, smile, thank God, praise the Lord, a new car cometh. See, I tell you what, you better learn to smile about the one that you have. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how you get more. Anyway, now let's get serious again. Can't be, you know, don't want to lose control in church now. Now look what he said here. He said, let your behavior be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, even the turismo, right? So you could just write there, write in your Bible, write a little note, write turismo. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, now this is how you're always content. Here's how you are always content, right? Because God said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, God said that he would always love you, never leave you, never forsake you. He would always provide, always give, always be there, never relenting generosity on your behalf. So that you would stand up and boldly say, the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my provider, the Lord is my healer, the Lord is my giving God, the Lord is my provider in all things, I shall not fear what man will do unto me. Okay? See how we were always to be inspired by God's generosity? It was always, he loved us, therefore we say. He loved us. Therefore, we say. So when the devil's trying to try to tell you, oh, you can't have something better, that would be covetousness. Oh, no, I can have something better because, one, I'm content with what's in my hand right now.
That's right.
I'm thanking God. I'm full of gratitude. I'm praising the Lord for it. But also because he gave me a son, because he loved me so much. He said he would never leave me, never forsake me, no matter what.
Yes.
This is why I know my faith works, because God never stops loving me.
That's right.
Never stops loving me. You know, it doesn't matter. How many of you seriously have received good things from God, even if you might have slipped and said something sharp to your spouse? Oh, yeah, come on. How many of you received something good from God, even if you caught yourself complaining about your boss? Don't you raise your hand. I think it might have started to creep up there, and I spared you the agony. Stephanie, our office manager, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
I mean, God, I mean, no, even if you weren't perfect in your love walk. See, that's what we've done. We've told people, you aren't going to get blessed unless you're perfect in your love walk. Now, should we strive for excellence in our love walk? Should we strive, absolutely strive with patience, strive with kindness? But how many of you know that God still gave you something good even when you slipped up? Said something sharp or weren't just perfect, or maybe you had a bad day or a bad week. God's still loving you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. Glory to God. You don't lose your faith projects that you've been believing God for a whole year or 2 years or 10 years just because you had a bad day. Aren't you glad that it's not based on your love, but it's based on God's love? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace. Oh, thank you, Lord, because you didn't leave me even when I didn't act right. Father, you didn't forsake me even if I was caught in a bad confession. Lord, you didn't stop loving me even if I woke up wrong, if I said something bad, or I made a mistake and I asked you to forgive me. I didn't lose my faith patience.
That's right.
Right? I didn't lose my faith projects. I didn't lose what I've been believing God for. Amen. Just because you had a slip. Now, of course, we're not intentionally trying to slip. Don't you dare walk out of here and say, see, don't matter how I treat people. No, it does matter. Because if the Bible says that if you're harboring unforgiveness towards somebody, right?
It
said, go and make peace with them before you bring your gift to the altar. God's saying you better go make it right with them, or else your gift isn't going to provide anything for you or God. So we know we have to be forgiving and so on. But how many of you know that it's not an ironclad rule? It's not an absolute that even if you had a bad day, God didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. Hallelujah. No, I'm not recommending bad confessions of faith. You understand. We're always watching the words of our mouth and speaking right. But man, have you ever caught yourself in a bad confession? Someone confession copped you? You know, your spouse will confession cop you, and it's good when my spouse confession cops me. I don't mind, but, you know, I confession cop her, but probably less than she, you know. Anyway, she helps me. Aren't you glad your faith still works? Aren't you glad it still works? Why does it work? Because God never left you, never forsake you. It's like this. I have a garage door opener in my car, and I have one, you know, my garage doors I have power garage door openers on them at my house, and I have one in my car, and when I pull up, I hit that button, and it's going to work. It's going to let me in, regardless of how I feel.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean? It's going to let me in regardless of my emotions, regardless of how I'm feeling, regardless of how good or bad the day has been, regardless. I press that button, and it's going to work. As long as I know that there's power flowing to that motor, every time I hit that button, that frequency always communicates.
Yes.
It always gets to the receiver, right?
That's right.
In the same way, faith is a frequency that God always hears. He always understands. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on emotions. It works every time, regardless of your emotions.
Yes.
As long as you keep pushing that button of faith, as long as you keep saying, you know, by his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
That's right? That's
hallelujah.
Right. That's right.
As long as my children are mighty seed upon the earth,
right.
He will make all grace and earthly favor abound towards me. As long as you keep that going, it's like pushing that button. And the thing is that the power will always be on. Because he will never leave you, never forsake you. He'll never stop loving you. Glory to God. I'm so glad. You know, imagine, you know, if you thought, well, you know, and just because I pushed that garage door opener yesterday doesn't mean I don't have to push it again today.
Yeah, you're right.
Some people, they're trying to live off yesterday's faith. Well, I confessed it yesterday. No, faith is born every day.
Yes.
Dr. Summerall said that. Faith is born every day. A daily release of faith. A daily release of faith. I don't pull up to my garage door and expect it to open just because I pushed it yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to push it again.
That's right.
And then tomorrow I'm going to need to push it again. and I'm going to push it again. And as long as that frequency is leaving that remote, it's always going to open.
That's right.
Regardless of what's going on in my brain. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Regardless of your emotions, your circumstances. Some people, they think, well, I've been releasing faith, and, well, I haven't, you know, I just kind of let that go. I'll tell you what, the Bible says, hold fast your confession of faith. Hold fast.
That's right.
Hold fast. You're going to need to keep plugging that thing. I tell you, every day of my life, I say that my wife is strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to her spirit man. She is filled with the knowledge of God and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I always say that my kids are mighty seed upon the earth. They're the generation of the upright. They're blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endureth forever. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and my children will have a place of refuge. A just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. I'm constantly releasing faith over my family. I'm constantly saying the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Amen. I'm constantly saying I'm abounding in the favor and the earthly blessing of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What am I doing? I'm pushing that button, releasing that frequency, and in heaven, there's a receiver there that knows and understands that frequency.
That's right.
And when it receives that frequency, the door's open. The door's open. Hallelujah. Another thing I've noticed about my garage door, that the closer I am to it, the better it works. I've noticed that with God, that the closer you are to him, the better it works. Well, I haven't talked to him for a couple weeks. Well, that's like standing 300 yards away from your garage door, pressing the button and asking why it's not opening. Because God wants fellowship. He wants to commune with you. He wants to talk with you, right? Amen, 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 amen. So you press that button every day. You press it regardless if you feel like it or not. You press it not because of the way you feel, but you press it because you need to get in.
That's right.
Right?
That's good.
And then you move closer. You move closer because the closer you are, the closer you are to God in terms of fellowship, right?
Yeah.
Just in terms of your fellowship, right? Just faith works. It's just the way it is because it's based on fellowship. It's not based on law. But this is what people are doing. They're saying that faith works by love, and they're saying my faith works by my love, therefore I deserve to receive. And what they've done, they're trying to love people based on law, and they're doing just what the Galatians did. They're trying to love people out of a rule. God tells me to love people, therefore I have to. No, the love of God came into my heart, therefore I want to love people. And my faith works because I'm loved. Because God gave it to me, and because he spared not his own son, how shall he not also in him freely give all things?
That's right.
Is your faith provoked here tonight?
Yes.
Are you stirred?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Glorify your holy name, Father. It's so good to be here tonight. So good to hear the reasons why we know our faith works. You said you'd never leave us, never forsake us. Father, thank you. Thank you that our faith is a gift from heaven. And it works because you gave it to us, and because we're loved, because you spared not your own son, because you never leave us, never forsake us. We're not too old. We're not too young. We're not too poor. We're not too unhealthy. We're not too uneducated. We're not too short. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Tonight, Father, we just grow in our confidence to know that we receive at your hand. We know that you've already given us the biggest thing you can possibly give us. Everything else is a smaller reach of our faith. And therefore, we see we can have it. And we will have it.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And Father, we just say that as we give tonight, we're going to go ahead and take up an offering here. Father God, as we get prepared to bring our tithes and our offerings, Father, we love you. Father, we don't give out of law. We give out of love. We give because we want to. We give because we're joyful givers. We give like Abraham gives. Father, we stand back and we enjoy the fact that you're receiving blessing. And Father, we stand back and we release our faith, which we know that it's without faith it's impossible to please you. Father, we believe that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Father, we're here to diligently seek. Father, to have all that you want for us, all that you have for us. Father God, we just know and we all say this together, but
my God
shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. In Jesus' name, seed, you go and produce harvest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Folks, it's about 8 o'clock. We're going to get ready for prayer meeting. We're going to take a short transmission. Speaking about all the car stories. Transition here into prayer meeting. Of course, we say this all the time. If you have young children, we know that there's folks that have told us, hey, we have young children, they need to get to bed, and so on. Feel free to minister to your child. Also, if you have children in the nursery, please pick those children up immediately. We're going to take a few minutes. If you need to use the restroom, get a drink of water, please do so. We're going to just jump right into prayer. Folks, just a reminder, on Wednesday nights, I just jump right into prayer. I'm not trying to be rude in any manner, but I'm just going to get right into prayer. So if I'm not available to speak right now, you understand, I just want to get in and start seeing what God would have us to do in prayer meeting and so on. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll go ahead and transition right there.